This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Ward.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
All right, Brock and Salk Show. Hello. Hi, everybody, here on Seattle Sports on 710, SeattleSports.com, and the Seattle Sports app. Do you know about the Seattle Sports app? You should. It's a Seattle Sports app. Just go download that sucker. You can listen to us there, plus all the podcast platforms out there. I do have some podcast reviews today, but a couple of new ones that I don't think we've read yet, so I can I kind of read you a few of those if you'd like this morning. They're all over the place, I guess, a little bit.
You know the rules? 5 stars.
Yeah, there's one non-5-star. Brock up, Salk down.
Oh, no.
I know. Oh, no. I can read that one last, yeah. Here's another Salk down.
I like when they tell us who's responsible for
I know, right?
Rating.
Strikeouts. Mariners, this is from C. Morica, 83. Mariners correctly and aggressively push to address it this offseason, but Mike Salk insists on consistent and constant swing and miss. He's the undisputed sports take strikeout king. Brock and Moore are the reason I can't dump this podcast outright. Otherwise, I'd drop it faster than the Mariners moved on from Teo, Gino, and Mike's favorite, the conceited, thoughtful, underachieving, pathetic strikeout King Kelnick, who also never shuts up. Brock and Moore, 5 stars.
Wait, what was the beginning of that? That you are the...
Strikeouts. The Mariners correctly and aggressively push to address it. But Salk insists on the constant swing and miss.
You insist yes, on the constant swing and miss.
I keep trying to get them to swing and miss.
Yeah. Thanks. Got it. Okay.
Thanks, C. Morica 83. I would say you've totally nailed my position.
I'm just glad I can help carry you guys.
Appreciate you, Maura. Appreciate nice. You. Glad you're here to help C. Morica out. 5 stars. I'm listening in Phoenix. Brock and Salk are the best. From Seattle and Phoenix now, still a Hawk Mariner, pending on off-season actions, and a Husky Cougar fan. After listening to local and national sports talk shows, I really believe Brock and Salk are the best. Yes, I even like Salk. Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. They deliver a very entertaining and interesting show that is well-prepared. Salk is the best at bringing interesting points of view that are well-thought-out and supported. The shows in Phoenix or the Nationals do not come close. They don't just spit out names, ramble, and scream. They put in the research to support what they're arguing. Great guests, humorous. Thanks for what you do. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Turnaround for you.
That's very nice. And then let's not end on that, though. That's no fun. Let's end on this one. 3 stars from QA Hill. Does that mean QAnon? That seems like somebody who's likely to like me. Oh, Queen Anne. Sorry. Okay. Brock up, Salk down. Brock knows sports. He can laugh at himself. Salk is a vindictive little man who is yet to be right, even though he's never played sports at a competitive level. I sort of feel sorry for people like that. Well, thanks, QAnon Hill. I appreciate you. It's really nice.
Why are you vindictive?
I am because I'm short and because I've never played sports at a high level, obviously, and because I can't laugh at myself like Brock.
The most oft asked question I get about you is, what's Salk really like in real life?
Yeah.
That's just the first thing you hope about.
You say short, vindictive, angry, yeah. And upset that he never played sports at a high level. I was upset last night. I found one thing and one thing only positive. From the Mariners game last night. Would
one
you like to know what it is? Would you like to start today
Josh
with
Ross
the positive?
And Ditch.
Nope.
Yes, I think we need that.
The most positive thing that happened last night involving the Mariner game is that it ended early.
Man.
It started early.
I thought you were going to give us a little more to cling to than that.
No, it started early. I'm too vindictive. It started early, Maura, although not as early as it was supposed to. Thanks a lot, Blue Jays, for the extra half hour that you threw in for your little warm-up to the season. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it seems like that should have been planned to be done before the game started.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But no, they didn't do it that way. They planned it to start when the game started so that the game would start a half hour late. But other than that, at least it started at 4:30 and not 7:30, and so it was over early enough to spend the rest of your evening doing other things, which was nice.
Watching the men's NCAA tournament you were so excited for.
No, that stunk. I watched some of that. That was boring. Incredibly boring.
It did turn into a blowout.
And I kind of blame you because you were like, Salk, it's been really fun. You should watch this. And I'm like, no more of this stinks.
I thought it was going to be a better game. I was disappointed.
It wasn't good. It wasn't really very interesting or whatever.
Yeah.
Nor was the Mariner game. Mariner game was uninteresting. And I think what's really unfortunate here and kind of put this into need to know, the thing that's bothering me most is the predictability and familiarity of these games. They look very familiar, and they are unfortunately very predictable. It feels, well, not just feels, we've read this script many times before, too many times.
So we're not seeing any growth.
We're not seeing anything new, whether it's growth, whether it's change, even if it was a step backwards, it just looks the same. And I think that's what's so frustrating for so many, myself included, is the similarity and predictability of what we've seen now for the last couple of years. When this team's not going well, this is exactly what it looks like. Except, I guess if you want to throw one other problem in there, the pitching has been nowhere close to what it's supposed to be. And Luis Castillo, obviously, is going to be right there in the middle of all of that. I know there's people who think I'm going to come on and give you an excuse for Luis. I got nothing for you. He was bad again last night. He wasn't good. He's leaving balls over the middle of the plate. He's not getting enough swings and misses, right? There's way too much contact. With two strikes, he's allowing way too many foul balls, which keep guys in the count. And then, you know, a couple of decent to hard contact hits, a couple of little soft bleeders because he's not getting the outs when he has the opportunity to get them. Yeah, all of that put together is three outings now for Luis, where he has not had a quality start. Reminder, quality start. Six innings or more, three runs or less. Zero for him so far. You're expecting a lot better. The team only has three in 11 games, by the way, but you're expecting more of that from Luis Castillo. He's the ace of the staff. He got the opening day start. He's the guy Scout went to go visit in the Dominican and, you know, talk through what this season was going to look like, and he's showing up with a little bit more leadership and everything else that's going on with Luis Castillo. Expectations for him are exceedingly high, and he's not lived up to them, quite frankly. So I'm distraught over what we've seen from Luis. I don't think the pitching has been good enough in general. Hopefully that turns around. We're only, you know, two times through the rotation, plus one more for Luis. So hopefully you see Kirby and Gilbert do their thing back-to-back nights and you end up winning this series in Toronto and feel a lot better than you do today. But if you don't feel very good today, I'm sure not going to blame you, because we've seen this script. We've read this book before, right? The offense looked once again incredibly weak. Just nothing. I mean, just no traffic, just no men on base, no opportunities, no great at bats. You know, they had a couple of balls hard early, which is when you probably needed to get to Berríos. And then after that, a good pitcher shut them down again.
Yeah.
And they faced some good pitchers this year. They have. It's true. But they've not done what they needed to do to get after them the way we've seen other teams get after the good pitchers that you have. So I do find myself incredibly disappointed. At least it was a fairly clean defensive game last night, which is good. I didn't see any major defensive holes. But hopefully you saw what it looks like and what defense means when you watch the Blue Jays play. When you watch second base, shortstop, outfield, third, all makes plays last night that change the game defensively. Right? The Blue Jays are more of an offensively built club, and they keep coming after you, and that's fine. Alejandro Kirk, man. Something about that
confounded.
Guy.
Confounded.
I don't. Yeah, he is. That's a great word for him. He is confounding. Good player, though. They're not necessarily built to beat you with, you know, pitching and defense, but you see, when you make three defensive plays like they did in that game to take hits away, changes everything. Mm-hmm. Versus when you make three plays that could have been made and weren't, it changes everything in the other direction. So it was an incredible disappointment to watch that game last night. As I said, the only real positive was that it ended early and that Ty France. Three hits. Okay,
three hits.
You know what? You're right, Justin. We'll give Ty a little credit. Three hits, and congratulations to him and his new family.
Yes.
As they've had a
baby Luca.
Baby Luca, is that the name?
Yep.
Oh.
Baby
nice.
Luca. L-U-K-A.
Luca live
right.
On the second floor? My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. You don't know that song?
99% sure it's Luca with a K. But
that's Suzanne Vega, I believe. My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. All right. We'll come right back with everything you need to know, which probably does not include Tom's Diner or anything else by Suzanne Vega. But it's next on Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Massive, the power of pop culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Barbie, and more. Make plans to visit Seattle's destination museum for film, fashion, music, and gaming. Tickets and info at mopop.org.
The Mariners are all about giving you more baseball for your buck. With Mariners Value Games, you can snag seats for as little as $10 to select games all season long. To get your tickets and check out the complete Mariners Value Game schedule, go to mariners.com/valuegames.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
At Cantor Diamond, we're fourth generation diamond importers, saving you big on your diamonds. By appointment in our Tacoma office and globally by text and email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram, K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, I feel like this is starting to sound and look and feel very familiar. Another game, another night of anemic offensive output, pitching that just doesn't get it done. This time it was Luis Castillo, who only went five innings. He allowed four more runs. Was he awful? No, but he certainly wasn't as sharp as he could be, and he didn't miss nearly enough bats. He does not yet have a quality start this season, and the team, of course, has just three in 11 games. They need him. No other way to say it. Scott Servais last night after the game.
I think anybody that's got their top of the rotation guy that is struggling like that, you need a bat. You know, there's no question about it. He's certainly capable of doing that. You know, it's just got to be a little bit more fine when you are ahead like that. You can't miss in the middle of the plate against, you know, premier hitters.
Well, he did last night. He missed in the middle of the plate against very good hitters, and they made him pay for it. Yeah, there were a couple of nice pieces of hitting where maybe they reached for one that was outside the zone, but not enough movement, not enough location, not enough pitch mix. Whatever it was, it has not been working for Luis so far this year. But, of course, it's not just the pitching. The offense has not been good either.
It's not consistent. We're not putting a full game together, either on the mound or at the plate right now, and you know, that's what happens. You're not gonna win many games unless you start doing that.
Certainly not the way they looked again last night. So Scott Servais, who you just heard there, will join us this morning, a little over an hour from now, 7:30. Scott will join us from Toronto. We'll talk about where the team is at and also about a big charity event that he has coming up later this week if anybody's interested in attending. It sounds like J.P. Crawford is going to be there. Cal Raleigh is going to be there. Should be kind of an interesting deal. So you'll hear more about that coming up at 7:30. George Kirby would go tonight, try to put the last performance in the rearview mirror. Team did make a couple of roster moves yesterday. Samad Taylor back to Tacoma with Ty France returning from paternity leave. He had three hits last night. And then newcomers Colin Snyder and Cody Bolton both going to visit the IL. They were replaced by Brett DeGus and Tyson Miller, who looked pretty good last night, by the way. Snyder, as you may remember, took a ball off his kneecap, so he should be okay. Cody Bolton, I feel for you this morning, man. Going through kidney stones, no thank you. Done it twice. Abject pain, total hell. I hope you feel better, and I hope they give you great, great medicine, because that is unimaginable pain.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Oh, man, what a number. 18.7 million viewers. That was just the average rating for Iowa and South Carolina on Saturday. It beat every basketball game and, quite frankly, every other non-football or Olympic sporting event for the last 5 years.
Jeez.
That's insane. What an unbelievable momentum. At its peak, 24 million people were watching. So, yeah, the average was 18.7. At its peak, it was over 24, closer to, that's unbelievable. Caitlin Clark tweeted the number with a little fire emoji, and why she wasn't exactly entirely responsible for the number, I would say she was the biggest single factor in it. Yeah, women's college basketball having a moment. Right now, it sure seems to be a whole lot more popular than whatever's happening in the men's game. Christine Brennan joined us yesterday.
Why? Well, again, personalities, right? We're a personality-driven society. I mean, we love Tom Brady. We love LeBron. We love Serena. You know, we love Simone or Katie, you know, or whatever. So you've got Caitlin. But you also have Juju, you know, and you also have Paige Beckers. And you have, of course, South Carolina's Dawn Staley. What a class act. What a coach. One of the best coaches in the country, male or female. You know, in South Carolina, the dominance. I mean, that Iowa was able to hang with them, being down 5 with 4 minutes to go, was remarkable. That's a sports miracle for Caitlin Clark, just to have that Iowa team be that close, because they're so obviously much shorter and nowhere near as physical and nowhere near the superstars, except for Caitlin, obviously, which is the X factor. But the men, right, it's one and done. And so you're not building any familiarity with the fan base.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And as you sort of transition from the women's game to the men's final last night, it is worth noting. So UConn wins, right? They win their second straight title. I don't know if you heard any of Evan Cohen this morning on Undisputed before us, but he had a good point. He said, well, there's back-to-back championships, and then there's two championships in a row. And in his view, UConn was the latter. It's not back-to-back, according to him, because it doesn't involve the same players. It's two championships in a row, won by the same uniform and the same coach, and for the same fan base. So nobody's taking anything away from it, but the feeling of it, of the same group of people winning back-to-back championships, I understand his point. And it doesn't feel like this year's UConn team, I guess, was similar to last year's team. They did win it, though, and huge kudos to them. They blow out Purdue, give up 37 to Zach Edey, but they held the rest of the team in check and cruise to a second championship.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, back to work this week for the Seahawks, at least in a voluntary sense. They got workouts at the facility, which will be the first opportunity, really, for the players to spend time around this new coaching staff. Look, you guys have heard me. I've made it known many times before how I feel about voluntary workouts. I think that you should go. And I think if you don't go, it's absolutely fair game to criticize you, because we often praise players for showing up and doing things that they don't need to do. We say, yeah, look at the dedication. Look at how it helps them win. Well, I want my team to win. I want them to be full of players who show that level of dedication. So I think it's completely appropriate to be disappointed in anybody who chooses not to show up to voluntary workouts or voluntary anything. But this year, maybe even more so, right? With a new coaching staff, trying to just get a chance for everyone to get to know each other, to get on the same page, to understand the offense, to understand the defense. Even more important this year. So good to see them out there working together. Team got a little business out of the way yesterday. They signed restricted free agents Mike Jackson and John Rattigan. They get new deals. Defensive lineman Miles Adams gets a deal. McGard McClendon Curtis, tight tackle Raekwon O'Neal, Joshua Onajuogo, and tight end Brady Russell, all get exclusive rights, contracts, and a little report. The team is going to meet with Tavondre Sweat this week. You may recognize the name. He's the massive defensive tackle from Texas, who's a pretty interesting second, third round fit for the Seahawks up front. He also, unfortunately, had a brush with the law this week as he was driving under the influence, allegedly. That is everything you need to know. 1:15 here on the Brock and Salk Show.
With the only voluntary workouts there, especially new, like you said, new coach. This is the time to be there. More than any. It doesn't make any sense that you wouldn't be in this moment.
Right. Just go.
Yeah.
That's what else you have to
that's
do?
End of the...
What else could you possibly have to do?
I don't know.
You're a professional athlete. This is your job. Show up.
Yeah.
It seems like the most logical thing in the world. And I don't know who's there and who's not. We haven't heard any of those reports yet. But just show up. There's no reason not to. This is your job. They're giving you an opportunity to help your team get better. Take it. That's all. I just think it's the easiest thing in the world. All right. Let's see. Bunch of texts. Kidney stones are straight from the devil, no doubt. I'm right there with you. Julio last night, wow, how unlucky can you be? Yeah, he hit the ball really, really hard twice, maybe three times. But unfortunately, you know, that's the game. Hopefully it leads to him kind of breaking out from there and works a little bit better moving forward. Salk, every mention of women's hoops is followed by why you hate men's hoops. I wonder why people call you vindictive, etc. Yeah, all right. If you can consider that to be vindictive, I just would call it opinionated. Like, it's not like I'm angry at men's hoops and trying to get back at them. I don't like the game anymore. Sorry. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I feel like there's a lot of people, I feel more vindicated than vindictive, quite frankly, if you want to start words with Vin.
I wish it was a closer game, but with you saying that you like the more old school style, I did hear a stat that UConn scored 44 points inside the paint last night.
That's nice. Yeah. Dunks and threes. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what. Rather than getting mad at the men's game, let's celebrate the women's game, which has just been an unbelievable sports story. One of my favorite stories we've covered in ages. This, honestly, I can't really think of a time when all of a sudden I've just felt the urge to watch something new like that. Like, I'm in. I'm all in.
That's not what happened to you with golf?
Okay, fine. It was that time. Okay. But that was just me. That I didn't feel like I was part of a movement. That was just like I started playing golf and was like, oh, this is kind of fun to watch. Oh, okay. And that was still a decade ago, more, like 12, 13 years ago. So the last, I can't remember the last time I started getting into something like this. Like, okay, I'm all in. Let's watch it. What's new? What do we need to know? Who are the players? Who are the coaches? Who are the characters? I'm all into it now, man. Absolutely, like 100% focus. Let's go. And that feels rare. And I don't think I'm the only one. Certainly when I read that number of, 18.7 million people watching, I think I feel right in the middle of it, which is great. It's rare for me. Usually I'm either, behind the times or just into something that nobody else cares
Trailblazing.
About.
Trailblazing.
Yeah. Yes. But in this case, I feel like I'm right there with everybody, which is awesome. It's fun being part of the crowd. Christine Brennan has a whole lot more on this, not only where it's been, but where it's going. Stick around. You'll hear it next on Brock and Salk.
The Museum of Pop Culture, Seattle's destination museum for music, film, fashion, and gaming, has savings just for Washington residents in May. See MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Cantor Diamond, 4 generations of professionalism, quality, and low prices. Let us earn your business and we'll make you our top priority. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
It's been the story here for the last, certainly for the last week. And it came to an end last night yesterday in some ways. In other ways, I think the story is just beginning. And that is obviously what we saw with not just Caitlin Clark, but the entirety of the women's tournament. So much fun. And we spent a lot of time on it last week. Christine Brennan, longtime columnist at USA Today. She also does work at CNN and ABC News. And I used to have Christine on all the time, Brock, back in the day when I was doing the national stuff for ESPN. And she's awesome and delightful. And she takes a few minutes to join us now. Hi, Christine. Christine, how are you?
Well, Mike and Brock, great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
How important was this? Was this a sea change moment here over the course of the last few weeks?
Without a doubt. We've been watching this happen in our neighborhood. The girl next door, we watch run to her soccer game or come back home after a volleyball match or basketball game or softball, whatever. And our granddaughters and our daughters and our nieces, we've been seeing this happen. Kind of happening under our noses, the Caitlin Clarks of the world, all of the country, all over the place, right? And we've been seeing growth in women's college sports and professional sports. And this explosion, as I said, has been right under our noses. And boom, there it is. No surprise to me, it's 25 years after the 1999 Women's World Cup soccer team. To me, Caitlin Clark is the individualized version of that team. We simply couldn't take our eyes off of her. And I was a witness to that. I live in D.C., and our whole family, we bought like 10 tickets, no press pass, bought tickets to the Maryland-Iowa game early February. I wanted to experience it with the fans, just go and watch. And I wrote about it a week later or so, but it was unbelievable. And when she pulls up and hits that first logo three, there's like 18,000, 19,000 people. Maryland has one of the biggest basketball arenas in the Big Ten, I think, in the country. It's packed. The seats on the floor were, and the seats in the last row in the rafters, equal, packed. Men, lots of men, women, obviously kids, extraordinary. The student section packed like it, what used to be for a Duke-Maryland men's game. And you watch it, and you just kind of have to laugh out loud when she hits that first three, and then the next three, and the next three. It is riveting. It's like watching the diva in the opera. It's like the high wire act in the circus. It's sports, and it's more than sports. And so, yes, this is huge, and there's no going back. Maybe the ratings won't be quite as good next year, but they're going to be great, and the coverage is going to be there because every newspaper and news organization has to cover. They're not going back now. You know, you've created readers and viewers, especially women, just like Taylor Swift. You want girls and women to be reading and viewing these news organizations, the content, and now we have it. And as I said, it's absolutely terrific. Obviously, I think it's a pretty good thing.
Can you find an individual comp? I like that comp. We were talking about that, and I was at a wedding when the U.S. women, Brandi Chastain hits a goal and, you know, twirls her shirt in the air. And I was at a wedding reception, felt bad for the bride and groom. Like, everybody wanted to go watch that thing and not dance and celebrate and everything else. Can you think of an individual kind of story arc that's been close to Caitlin's here over the last couple of years?
Well, make sure to wish them a 25th wedding anniversary on July 10th.
Yes.
Yeah, that's 25 years for them, wow. Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, hope they're still together.
They are. Bless their hearts. They are. And a couple kids.
Oh, yeah, good. They weathered the storm. Yes. They were there at the beginning. Yeah. I know. I mean, have we had bigger athletes, women athletes? Sure. Serena Williams, right? I mean, the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, one of the most extraordinary stories in sports. You know, these two sisters just dominating tennis for 20 years, especially Serena, you know, at the last 10 or 15, whatever. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. But in terms of a surprise, in terms of something kind of organic, that, and also not professional sports, because, of course, Serena and Venus, that was professional tennis, of course. No, I don't. I think Caitlin Clark is the biggest thing we have produced in sports other than the sports where women have been able to shine over the decades, which would be Olympic sports, right? So swimmers, mm-hmm. Janet Evans, Katie Ledecky, you know, so many others over the years. You know, tennis, golf, although golf is kind of, you know, up the radar because of all the discrimination against women. It's now coming back to haunt them. And, but, you know, and then other Olympic sports, you know, obviously Simone Biles, right? But Caitlin Clark's name right now, you know, going down the street, if we all went out in our homes and watched the eclipse and, you know, asked 10 people, you know, name a female athlete. I think we might get more Caitlin Clarks than Simone Biles or Katie Ledecky's right now.
Mm-hmm. You certainly would in my house. That's for sure. I mean, my daughters are 100% invested in it. One of the things I found interesting, we spent some time on it last week after Caitlin was asked about her legacy, essentially, and whether they needed to win in order for her legacy to be what she wanted it to be. And she spent some time talking about how it was the moments that she would remember more so, and she hoped other people would remember what they did for the sport, et cetera. And I loved that she mentioned watching with both your boys and girls, sons and daughters, because I think it's easy to say, oh, girls should watch this and it's empowering for them. And it's true, not to take anything away from that statement. Sure. But how valuable is it for young boys to watch this as well and normalize the idea that women's sports has this level of value, something that growing up in the 80s, I know that I did not get at all.
Right, right. Well, it's Title IX males, right? We are now creating generations of Title IX males who, whether they're little boys right now wearing those 22 jerseys, when they're 30 or 40 years old, what kind of dads are they going to be? What kind of husbands? What kind of partners, supporters of women in the office, right? The way their dads and grandfathers never would have. I mean, not just sports, but life. Because to me, Caitlin Clark is a sports story, but she's also an American cultural story. And frankly, this is history. And guaranteed, 50 years from now, when kids are studying whatever they're studying in holograms or I don't know what they're going to be doing, whatever they're doing, Caitlin Clark's name's going to come up. And this 2024 season's going to come up. Absolutely. Whatever we're saying, it's probably not enough about how big a deal this is. Well, and yes, how smart of her and how great of her, because, you know, she's how lucky are we to have this person? I mean, she's 22 and look at how she handles this. Look at how she speaks. Look at the time she spends trying to win games, as Dawn Staley said, the heavy burden and load that she has taken. And you wouldn't even know it, except maybe a one flare up or two in an early NCAA game at the ref, you know, and her dad saying, stop. You know, others, I mean, that's nothing, right, compared to what athletes, how they misbehave and screw up every day. So what a remarkable human being. But to get the boys part, knowing that those boys are going to be girl dads, and that's why when you think of, like, where we're headed as a nation demographically, women presidents, more than 50 women in the Senate, more than 50% women in the House of Representatives, this is all the exact same conversation, building confident young girls and women who are going to take over the country. And that's what we're seeing, even though right now we're talking about a basketball player.
I think all three of us would be on the side of, I don't want to speak for you, I'll let your answer speak for itself, but I certainly know Salk and I would be on the side of this women's product in basketball. College basketball is more compelling than the men. I guess first and foremost, do you agree with that? And if so, why, from your perspective?
Yeah, I do. And I feel pretty good. I'm often on my predictions. I can be wrong. Sometimes shocking.
I can relate to that, Christine. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think we all know. Everyone assumes like we know. No. We're covering it, and we have maybe educated opinion. But before the tournament started, I said the women's is going to be bigger than the men's. Now, that wasn't exactly a shocking thing to say, because we already have Caitlin Clark and the incredible TV ratings already, and the full arenas barnstorming the country like a latter-day Harlem Globetrotter or something, you know, filling up everything and people waiting in lines for hours. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily the biggest, riskiest prediction I've ever had. But, you know, obviously it turned out to be right. We'll see how about the ratings. But even if tonight's men's beats yesterday's women's, that doesn't even matter. I mean, it's the conversation and it's the coverage. And of course, that's primetime tonight versus not primetime yesterday, but network yesterday for the women and cable for the men. So, mm-hmm. you know, again, we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, and why? Well, again, personalities, right? We're a personality-driven society. I mean, we love Tom Brady. We love LeBron. We love Serena. You know, we love Simone or Katie, you know, or whatever. That's, we feel like Tiger, you know, first name basis with these people. And Brock in his day. And right?
Obviously, so, for sure, yes.
Well,
yes.
It was B-Rock, but yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Brock in his day.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. I mean, of course, I would have been remiss to not mention that. And so you've got Caitlin, but you also have Juju, you know, and you also have Paige Beckers, and you have, of course, South Carolina's Dawn Staley. What a class act. What a coach. One of the best coaches in the country, male or female. You know, in South Carolina, the dominance. I mean, that Iowa was able to hang with them, being down 5 with 4 minutes to go, was remarkable. That's a sports miracle for Caitlin Clark, just to have that Iowa team be that close, because they're so obviously much shorter and nowhere near as physical and nowhere near the superstars, except for Caitlin, obviously, which is the X factor. But the men, right, it's one and done. And so you're not building any familiarity with the fan base. And so I think all of that plays into it. And I think the women's game has gotten so much better. 30 years ago, it was kind of a mess. I played in high school and intramurals in college at Northwestern. You know, it was not good. Well, we're teaching girls now the fundamentals the way we teach boys. So when you watch Caitlin play, you know, you're not going, oh, that's a woman running. No, that's an athlete running. So this generation has learned, you know, diving for the ball, the stuff we never did. We had two plays in high school, and they get screwed up, and we just, you know, wing it. And
you know, it looked like it. And the games were 18-16 or something at Ottawa Hills High School in the suburbs of Toledo. And the bottom line is now they're getting the coaching, the money, the care. The parents care about their daughter's sports the way they care about their son's sports. Listeners right now are nodding their heads. Yep, I'm taking my daughter to practice the way I took my son when he was in school. You know, those kinds of things weren't happening 30 years ago. So the women's game is just so much better, and I think it's much more interesting and fun to watch, frankly, than the men's game.
Last thing for you here, Christine. We're talking to Christine Brennan from USA Today. Just quickly, because we only have a moment or two, what's the next chapter in this story, whether it's for Caitlin herself, whether it's for the NCAA women, whether it's for the WNBA? What do you think is the next big chapter, the next big moment in this story?
You know, the really cool thing is that we just said goodbye to Caitlin Clark, right? Goodbye, sad. There she goes, the Instagram post with the that she put on there that was quite maudlin with her, you know, jersey and a shoe. And, you know, thank you and love to the, you know, everyone in Iowa and around the country. Well, guess what? She'll be back in a week. I don't know that we've ever seen anything like this. And I think I might write about this. The idea of that's over, like the women's soccer, right? That was over. We didn't see them until the Olympics the next year, full year later. Now we're going to see her in a week. The WNBA draft ratings will probably be the highest, well, surely will be the highest they've ever been. And Angel Reese and others as well, Camila Cardoza. But Caitlin's driving that. And then the WNBA, and I know you need to run, but just last little thought, Las Vegas, July game, Indiana Fever at Las Vegas Aces, 12,000 seat arena for Las Vegas. They've already moved the game to a 20,000 seat arena when Indiana plays. And of course, Caitlin Clark hasn't even been drafted yet by Indiana. There's your Caitlin Clark effect. It's going to happen in the WNBA just like it happened in college. Wow. And the WNBA needs this desperately because they've never had the fan attention and the media attention that they deserve.
Caitlin versus Kelsey Plum going to be pretty fun. Certainly for a lot of people around here who got to know Kelsey and watched her at UW, that'll be...
Caitlin versus Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, that'll be a little fun also.
Yes, it will.
Hey, Christine, thank you so much. It's always good to catch up with you. I'm sorry it's been as long as it's been. Let's make sure we do it again.
I would love to call anytime. I'm a huge fan of Seattle. Love it. Love you guys. And thanks so much. And yes, on we go.
Awesome. There you go. That is that's Christine Brennan from USA Today. She's awesome. Really enjoy her. She's got a great way about her. She's been doing this a long time and very bright, very interesting perspective almost always on whatever is going on. And it's true. It has been way too long since we've talked to her. I'll tell you what. I owe her kind of an extra thank you, though, because that little story she told about the Las Vegas Aces and how they already started selling their tickets to go see the Fever when they're in town, knowing that Caitlin's going to be playing for the Fever, and how they had to move it, what'd you say, from 12 to 20,000 seat arena? That's crazy. I started looking last night for Fever tickets when they're in town to play the Storm.
I was like,
I better do that. They're not on sale yet to the general public, so I couldn't buy them. But I was like, oh, I better get on top of this early. In fact, I shouldn't even be talking about this with any of you because I want to get my tickets.
Yeah, well, I paid attention after we had this segment yesterday. I saw Aaron Levine tweet that, the Storm had their best first day in franchise history
sure.
for single day ticket sales, and they sold out the lower bowl for the games against Indiana, which is likely Caitlin Clark, and they'll open up the upper bowl.
Okay, well, good. Yeah, I think I saw that there were some upper bowl available. I'm definitely in, man. I want to go.
Well, that's the other question here is like, how does this translate into WNBA interest with your daughters and others? And like,
well, we all want to go to a WNBA game. That's for sure. Uh-huh. I mean, we've been before, and we went during their run a couple of years ago with Sue Bird and Jewel Lloyd and Breanna Stewart, the rest of that group. I mean, that was fun. I generally get a little annoyed at just the amount of yelling and screaming going on a PA, like in any basketball game, NBA or WNBA. I just think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, when I was telling Justin to check out an NBA game, you were talking about how they're too loud.
It's not that the crowd is too loud.
No.
That the people screaming on the PA system are too loud.
There's a lot going on.
It's constant.
There's a lot going on.
It's like ADD personified. It drives me nuts. But do I want to, is it worth it? Yeah, of course. I want to go see Caitlin Clark. And my kids want to go see Caitlin Clark. My wife wants to go see Caitlin Clark, as does everybody else. I don't blame them. So I'm really excited to hopefully find some tickets to go do that. And if not,
I'll be watching however I can watch, because that seems pretty awesome. Anyway, great job from Christine Brennan. And I do think it's a very, very powerful story that will continue to change the way the world works. And I see, you know, we got just one text and keep politics out of sports. I'll tell you what, I really don't see this as politics. To me, this is societal. This is an opportunity for a new group of people to enter the sports world, and for the people that have been there the longest to embrace something new. I love that. I think this is an incredible, I'm honestly viewing this as a great opportunity for sports to be better.
Totally. Door opening.
And I appreciate Christine's point of view that there's a societal element to it, and that, you know, for boys to watch girls in this environment makes them better men down the road. First of all, I happen to think that's true. And just not politically, but as the father of two daughters, do I want the men they date one day to be better? Yes. Of course I do. Do I want them to be more respectful? Do I want them to understand that women are equal? Of course. Of course I do. And this is like a no-brainer. Right. This isn't politics. This is personal. Right. I just want my kids to have a better life.
And this is a doorway into that for a lot of boys who maybe don't have that in their households or anywhere else.
It may be. And at the very
Coming from
least.
From someone who's had to get quizzed her entire life, when I say that I like sports or work in sports, immediately men pop into a pop quiz to make me prove myself.
Oh, nice.
Just normalizing that women can be just as involved and talented in the sports world would be great.
And I think what's cool is your generation unfortunately had to go through that. But what you've done, you personally and many others like you, in answering those quiz questions, I don't mean to the idiot who's asking them. I mean to the world who listens to you, or the seven people at least who listen to this show and all of the other women around the world, is you've created the next generation that hopefully isn't going to need to go through that the same way. And Caitlin Clark helps, and this yes. tournament helps, and having your boys watch and your girls watch.
I've slowly seen it all helps. That shift throughout my life. And yeah, like I think we talked about last week, Sue Bird and some of the people that came before Caitlin Clark laid the groundwork for her, but like it just keeps propelling forward yep. to where we're not looking at it like the women's side of the tournament is inferior.
Right. Well, it sure wasn't inferior this year.
Yeah.
I mean, this to me was, and that's why I keep talking about it, the sea change moment. This was the first year for sure that the women's tournament was not lesser. It certainly had more buzz. It had more ratings. It had more intrigue. It had more interesting characters. It had better basketball, certainly from my perspective, and I don't think I'm the only one who thinks that. This was the year. Last year was the sort of the appetizer. Last year whet the appetite. Last year, everyone was like, okay, hold on. Something's happening here. And then this year, it was 100% everybody on board. Let's go. And I do think it's a really, really great, great story. You know, I got a text here saying, you know, maybe another time we could talk about how to fix the men's game. I've mentioned a few times that I think there are two things they could do to make men's basketball better. I know there'd be a lot of people against this, but for me, I would do two things. I would raise the rim and I would widen the court. And I think those two things would help improve men's basketball. Seriously, at the college and pro level, I don't think that everyone was meant to dunk a basketball. I don't think that's the way the game was created. I'm not saying dunks should be gone from the game, but I don't think that everyone on the court should be able to dunk all the time. And I think if you were to raise the rim to 11 feet, you would bring the percentage of dunks back to where it used to be, where only the best, only the tallest, only the guys who could jump the highest would be able to do that. And honestly, I think that would change the game in some way. It would also make shooting from that far away a little harder. The other thing I think you need to widen the court, because I think the dimensions of the court were built for a smaller group of people. And the people that are playing in the NBA now are gigantor. They're huge. Every one of them. Basketball wasn't meant for Kevin Durant to be 7 feet and dribbling, or Victor Wembanyama, or any of these guys. They're too big. And I understand why they're great players, but what if they had more space to operate? Mm-hmm. How different would the game look? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean you need to like double the width of the court, but what if the court was 5-10 feet wider and the rim was 6 inches or 12 right. inches higher?
I'm sure there's somebody who could say that the players today, by statistically, are X percent bigger than they were when the court was designed.
So just change that
a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think it would be that difficult.
Too.
Yeah, so I think that there are things they could do to because as Brock mentioned yesterday, and I agree with him, the analytics. Have changed the game, and I think a very negative way. They've made that product a lot less fun to watch. And so I don't think it's an accident that many of us who feel excommunicated in some way from the game of basketball that we grew up really enjoying found something else to love and found a game that that looked a whole lot more, not exactly like, but a whole lot more like the game of basketball that we grew up with. So great story. Thanks to Christine. And hopefully I'll be able to grab those tickets because I want to go see Caitlin when she's in town in May. All right, we'll come right back. I got a question for a lot of you Mariner fans who are asking me a question. I got a return question. You want to ask me a question? I'm going to ask you a question. We'll do it next on Brock and Salk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.